Today, we are in Genesis chapter 23. So let's take a look at that section of Scripture. Verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah, and Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram rose up from before his dead and said to the Hittites, I am a sojourner and foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. The Hittites answered, Abraham, hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites and the people of the land, and he said to them, If you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns. It is at the end of his field, for the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for a burying place. Now Ephraim was sitting among the Hittites. And Ephraim the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites of all who were in the gate of his city. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that is in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Then Abraham bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephraim in the hearing of the people of the land, But if you will, hear me. I give the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Ephraim answered Abraham, My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephraim. And Abraham weighed out for Ephraim the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites, 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So the field of Ephraim in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout the whole area was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites before all who went in at the gate of his city. After this, Abram buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave in the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abram as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. For your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for all the truth that is here. Lord, we just pray that you would open our eyes, you help us to understand what's here, and we pray that, Lord, that we would take that knowledge and use it to glorify your holy name in all that we say and all that we do. These things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you know, before the service, I was talking to Al, and he says, Well, Craig, do you have a good Father's Day sermon for us? And I got to tell you, I'm a firm believer in good Father's Day sermons. But with this section of Scripture, I just got to say, I got nothing. expositional preaching is like golf. You got to hit the ball where it lies. And, the Lord could turn water into wine. And, there's probably some guy out there somewhere who can make a good Father's Day sermon out of this. But that guy ain't me, okay? So we got what we got. Verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died at Kiriath Arba. That is, in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Now, I think we have to, despite the fact that this is Father's Day, we have to summarize some things about Sarah here, because I think there is a lot worth noting. You know, one of the things that you find about Sarah, when you look throughout this book of Genesis, she is only the second woman that they spend any time talking about. So that by itself shows her significance. And you know, one of the things that you find when you look at Sarah is that she's essentially known for two things. Number one, her beauty. Number two, her character. Now, you know, with regard to her beauty, let's take a quick look at Genesis chapter 12. One of the things that we find when you start to look at it is that she is 65 years old when they enter the land, okay? But in chapter 12, starting with verse 10, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, 'I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is my wife, this is his wife." Then they will kill me, but they will let you live." So she lived to be 127 years old. She's 65 years old when she enters the land, and yet she is so beautiful that you have stories of two kings who decided they just had to have her. And they were willing to pay quite a bit to get her. Now, she is 127 years old when she dies. She's 65 years old when she enters the land. So that means, comparatively speaking, if she's going to, the average woman lives today to be about 80, that means she was in her early 40s, and she was still stunning. With Abimelech, okay, she's past 90, and she's still stunning. So much so that he had to have her. Now, you know, she stood out for her looks. There's no two ways about it. And you can try to argue, well, you know, it's a cultural thing. Nah. The fact that these two kings had to have her shows just how beautiful she was. But you know, the other thing that she is known for is her character. And here's how that character fleshes out. It fleshes out in a number of ways. Number one, she was known for her hospitality, okay? Because when you look at when he saw the Lord coming along with those two other angels, she took care. She showed hospitality. This was clear. And when you look at rabbinical literature, this is one of the things that they emphasize, how hospitable she was, how she took care of visitors. But here's something else, okay? She is known for her submission to her husband. Let's take a look at 1 Peter. And let's go to chapter 3. And Peter says this: "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, that they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. And do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So she is a model of submission for a wife to her husband. And if you're going to be a godly woman, you're going to try to live like her. Now, she had the external beauty to go with it, and it's great if you got it. But if you don't, you can still have her character. Here's something else. She is known because she is a woman of faith. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And let's take a look at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She didn't have the ability to give birth. She was barren most of her life. But she trusted in the one who gives the power to have birth. And ladies, I hope you too are that woman of faith as she was. She's also known for being the mother of Isaac. And there's no doubt that she was a good mother. Now, despite all the good things that could be said about her, you know one thing about the scripture? It shows both the good and the bad. You know, because, you know, Alistair Begg said this years ago, and I quote him a lot when I say this, but he said, the best of men are men at best. That's also true of women. And you know, no matter how good you are, you've got your failings. You've got your weaknesses. You've got those areas you need to work on. And one of the things we see is, she, even though she was a woman of faith, one of the things that she did was she tried to take things into her own hand with Hagar by having Abraham have relations with her so that he could produce a son. That's how they got Ishmael. And then it was the way that she treated Hagar and Ishmael later on. Here's one of the things you and I need to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for the fact that the Lord chose to show us these great saints, warts and all. Because I don't know about you, but I know Craig Mitchell's got more than his fair share of warts. I suspect you do too. Now, you know, in a lot of ways, she appears to be the total package, right? She's got the looks, and she's got the character. But let's see what Proverbs has to say about this. Proverbs chapter 30. 31, I'm sorry. Let's take a look at verse 30. Charm is what? Deceitful. And beauty is what? Vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Ladies, are you that kind of woman? A woman who fears the Lord? You know, Sarah's name comes from the root word sar, which means prince or chieftain. But it's a feminine form, so it's translated as princess. And to the degree that you are that woman of faith, to the degree that you are that woman of character, yeah, you are a princess in the eyes of God. Now, when you look at verse 2, it says, "And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba," that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. "And Abram went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her." Now, you know, when you look at customs of mourning in that part of the world, well, you know, there's a number of things that you see. Generally, there'd be weeping aloud. There'd be tearing of clothes. Cutting off parts of your beard. Messing up your hair. Throwing up sand. Fasting. And one of the things it says here is that he mourned for her. So it was probably all that. And he wept for her. Now, you know, Abraham, and we've seen lots of examples of this. This was a man who trusted in the Lord. This was a man who was a great leader. This was a man of courage. This was a man who was respected for his wisdom, for his abilities. But he was not ashamed to weep at the loss of his wife. Now, you know, he was 10 years older than her. She's his half-sister. He's known her for that whole 127 years. And she's gone. She's gone. Now, you know, if you have a brother or a sister or a close friend that you've known for that long, that you've known for a long period of time, you're going to miss them when they're gone. It's just that simple. But on top of everything else, she was his wife. She was the mother of one of his sons. Now, we don't know if this was a sudden death. We don't know if she had been sick for a long time. But she was gone. Now, you know, my dad is going to be 85 this year. His wife died in April. My mom and my dad are divorced. But his last wife, he was married to her for over 40 years, longer than he was married to my mom. And you know, he's hurting over it. Almost married to her almost half his life. In Abram's case, he's known her since she was ten years old. To say that this is a huge loss doesn't get it. But, you know, he mourns for her, and now it's time for him to take care of some business. Says in verse 3, "And Abraham rose up before his dead and said to the Hittites, 'I'm a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight.'" Now, you know, one of the interesting things here is God made Abraham a number of promises. Let's take a look at some of those promises real quick. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 again. Let's take a look at verse 7. "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.'" He didn't promise the land to Abraham, but to his offspring. Now let's take a look at chapter 15. Let's go to verse 12. "As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. And behold, dreadful and darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said to Abram, 'Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions.'" So, you know, the thing is, Abraham was not promised the land. And he came into this land when he was 75. And he's 137 now. And he's not owned one square foot of land. Now, he goes before these Hittites, okay? And one of the things that he says is this. He says, "I'm a sojourner and a foreigner among you." See, he's not part of the family. He's this foreigner. And you know, they don't owe him anything. You know, he's a Bedouin. He is moving around this promised land, but he doesn't own any of it. And he's not part of these Hittite people. So, you know, they don't have to do anything. They don't even have to keep their agreements with him necessarily. He says in verse 4, "I'm a sojourner and a foreigner among you. Give me property among you for a burying place, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." And the Hittites answered Abram, "Hear us, my lord. You are a prince of God among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you his tomb to hinder you from burying your dead." Now here's one of the things I think that's worth noting. He had great respect from these Hittite people. They know that he is a man of God. Folks, do the people who live around you, do they know that you're a man of God? Do the people that you work with, do they know you as a man of God? These people, they've known this guy for years. And his character comes shining through. And they're like, hey, we know who you are. We respect you. You want to bury somebody here? You want a piece of ground? Oh, you got it. Verse 7. Abraham rose and bowed to the Hittites, the people of the land. Once again, emphasizing this idea, he's a foreigner. He doesn't own any of this land. These are not his people. The Hittites are the people of the land. But he's respected by these people. And he said to them, if you are willing that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence as property for burying place. Now, he says, look, this is the piece of land I want, and this is the owner, and let me do this in front of all of you so that you're all witnesses. And let me buy it at the full price, by the way. Verse 10. Now Ephraim was sitting among the Hittites. And Ephraim, the Hittite, answered Abraham in the hearing of the Hittites, of all who went in at the gate of the city. Now, one of the things that you saw in the ancient world is that the leaders of a town, the leaders of the city, sat at the gates. This is where the men of prominence, this is where they hung out, so to speak. This is where they did business. If you were anybody of any significance in the town, this is where people could expect to find you. Now Ephraim was sitting among the Hittites, and Ephraim the Hittite answered Abram in the hearing of the Hittites of all who went in at the gate of his city. No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, and I give you the cave that's in it. In the sight of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. Abram was so well regarded. He didn't have to buy this land. They were willing to give it to him. The Hittites in general and Ephraim in particular, they were all willing to give him the land. Verse 12. Then Abram bowed down before the people of the land. And just as they respected him, he respected them. Now, you know, he worshiped Yahweh. And they worshiped many other gods, no doubt. But he showed them respect, just as they showed him. Then Abram bowed down before the people of the land, and he said to Ephron, in the hearing of the people of the land, but if you will, hear me, I give the price of the field. accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Once again, he's trying to buy this land because he does not want any disputes down the road. He wants everybody to know that he bought this piece of ground fair and square. There was no trickery. And these people there at the gate, they know, but maybe their descendants wouldn't know. But if you will hear me, I give the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead there. Ephraim answered Abraham, "My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver. What's that between you and me? Bury your dead." Now, you know, we can't be sure. But you know, it appears at least that 400 shekels was pretty good price. It was a costly piece of ground. Especially having that cave there. You just don't have those things made up. And trees. But Ephraim is still more than willing to give it to him in spite of the fact that it's a costly piece of ground. Once again, Abraham comes back. Abraham listened to Ephraim. And Abraham weighed out for Ephraim the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites. One of the things I find interesting about this scripture is it keeps emphasizing that he's speaking to the Hittites, the people of the land. Because it's not his land. It's not his country. God promised it to his descendants, but not to him. Now, Abram listened to Ephraim, and Abram weighed out for Ephraim the silver that he had named in the hearing of the Hittites. 400 shekels of silver, according to the weights current among the merchants. So, the field of Ephraim in Machpelah, which was to the east of Mamre, the field with the cave that was in it, and all the trees that were in the field throughout its whole area, was made over to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Hittites, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And once again, they're just emphasizing that this deal happened before many witnesses, all of them prominent leaders, and it was commonly agreed to and understood that this property now belonged to Abraham. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, east of Mamre, that is, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The field and the cave that is in it were made over to Abraham as property for a burying place by the Hittites. Now, you know, one of the things that you find is that this piece of property, this was an important piece of property. In fact, let's take a look at just a few more verses. Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. And let's go to verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life. 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephraim, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, east of Mamre. Giving you all the same details, so there is absolutely no question what piece of property that they're talking about. Let's now go to Genesis chapter 35. Let's go to verse 27. And Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre, or Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had sojourned. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last. He died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now, it doesn't talk about the cave of Machpelah, but one of the things that's fairly obvious here, okay, is that they are in Hebron. And he says, where Abram and Isaac had sojourned. So, Sarah was buried here first, then Abraham, then Isaac. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 49. And let's go to verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abram and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it were bought from the Hittites. When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. So Abraham was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Jacob was buried there. And in each case, or most of the cases, with the exception of Isaac's case, they leave absolutely no doubt where this is. It was the only piece of land that family had until Joshua brought the tribes of Israel into the land hundreds of years later. And then they went in to claim that land. In my Sunday school class, we're looking at Deuteronomy. And one of the things that we see is when they come into the land, They are wiping out all of these people, the Hittites, the Amorites. They're wiping them out. Because when you look at Genesis chapter 15, one of the things that you see is that they're going to come out of Egypt and they're going to go into the promised land to claim this land. And God, one of the things that God says is that the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God gives the Amorites, the Hittites, and all who are living there, he gives them 400 years to repent. Folks, we worship a God who is patient, who is loving, who is merciful, who's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to come to Him. He wants everyone to become that man of faith, to become that woman of faith. Now, you know, I know some of you don't know all of you. I know where some of you are spiritually. But if you don't know Jesus Christ today, I want you to understand one thing. Our God is being patient with you. He's being gentle with you. He wants you to know Him today. This is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. So, regardless of what your sins might be, He's prepared the way of escape for you. So if you don't know Him today, now is the time to repent. Today is the day of salvation. You know, you don't know how much time you've got left. You may live for years, or you may die unexpectedly. You know, when my father's wife died, none of us, I mean, yeah, she had her health issues, but none of us saw it coming. Her kids who were right there, they didn't see it coming when it happened. Look, you don't want to be without Christ when you leave this earth. Seek Him today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for what You are doing with every person here. Lord, if there is someone who does not know You today, Lord, I pray that You would open the eyes of their understanding and that, Lord, that You would bring them to repentance. And I pray that, Lord, that they would seek You today. Lord, for everyone else, for those who do know You, I just pray that, Lord, that You would help us to draw closer to You, that You would help us to seek You, to be closer to You, to know You better, to know You more, to glorify Your holy name in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, guide us. These things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.